Good morning. I'm glad to be here this morning. Are you glad to be here? Yes. Our God is good. Let us pray, please. Our Father in heaven, we want to bless your name at this moment. We ask, Lord, that you take preeminence in the sermon that's going to come up. Father, I'm only an instrument. But I ask, Lord, that you use me to your own glory, to bring your word across, that at the end of this service, all of us will rejoice that we've been with you. Be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting from verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet, I tell you, that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how our God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry about saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of his own. We know that we've been dealing with the Beatitudes since January, and the last speaker told us about the treasures in heaven, and Pastor Jack told us about prayers, that all those are important as Christians, that we lay not our treasures here on earth, but we lay them in heaven. And that we should be prayerful Christians. That being said, I want to let us know that life is full of things that we do not like that trigger anxiety. Anxiety is a condition of feeling unease or worried about what may happen or a concern. It is characterized by mental restlessness and uneasiness. It is this type of concern that brings stress and dominates our mind. There are many things that people worry about, such as grades in school, job, approaching deadlines, shrinking budget, bills and expenses, rising gas prices, insurance costs, endless taxes, failing marriages, and disobedient children. The other things we worry about are children involved with drugs, identity theft, contagious infections, illnesses and diseases, and childlessness, and of course, death of a loved one. Instead of worrying, there are many biblical reasons not to worry. And church, I'm here today to remind you that Jesus said, do not worry. Why? There are many reasons why we should not worry. Okay, see that guy there? Is he worrying or is he happy? So he is worried. And you see, he has a lot of things that he's worrying about. So maybe you are in his shoes, or I am in his shoes, worrying about so many things. So, but Jesus is telling us this morning that we should not worry. Why shouldn't we worry? Number one reason that we should not worry: worrying accomplishes absolutely nothing. It accomplishes absolutely nothing. It will not change your situation. Whatever your situation is, you continue to worry and worry and worry, that will not solve the problem. Verse 27 says, "Who of you worrying can add a single hour to his life?" If you continue to worry, you cannot add even a single minute to your life. When the time comes and the whistle will blow, you will depart, or I depart. By worrying, I will not add 1 minute, or I will not add 1 day. So Christ is telling you and I this morning that we should not worry. "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul." Brother David knows what it means to be worried. He was worried when King Saul was pursuing him, trying to take care of his life, take it away from him. He ran many places to hide for his dear life. But he was the one who penned this to us: "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul." Are you able to write such a thing? To know that the consolation of God is with you all the time, just like it was with David, that he was not freaked out so much. He was a little bit shaken when Saul wanted to take away his life, but he realized that God is still on the throne. So you and I, we need to realize that God is still on the throne whenever we're going through circumstances. The Bible did not promise us that we will not go through trials and temptations. But he promised us what? That he will see us through. He will see you through in your condition, in your situation you are in, whatever it is that you are going through now. Psalm 34 reassures you that in any condition you are in, Christ said he's going to be with you. So do not freak out completely. Furthermore, acknowledge God's supremacy and ability to take care of you as he cares for the lilies, flowers, and birds of the air. I don't know how many of you have seen a bird cultivating a garden. He doesn't do that, but he enjoys your garden. Just plant your flower there. You see the birds coming. What are they coming to do? To enjoy the smell. Even to eat the flowers. You can drive them away 100 times, they will say, "Come back," because you have prepared their food for them. So God said he knows how to take care of all those little creatures. How much more you, my brother, my sister? No matter your condition, do not think that all is gone. God is able to see you through in whatever circumstance you are going through. King David also acknowledged that the Lord is his shepherd king, for Jesus is the shepherd of his people. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Yes. When you may not understand what we mean over here in the United States about nomads who go about with their cattle, feeding their cattle. They continue to go around until they see an oasis, a place where there's water and there's green grass. They will settle down for hours, and the animals will then feed. But you have plentiful things around you. But you worry about small things. I worry about small things. But remember, the good shepherd said that he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of me. Jesus is the good shepherd who has promised that he will take care of you. He will take care of me. So don't think that all is gone, that the whole life is wasted. He's still going to take care of you. In John 10, 11 and 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The good shepherd is here. He knows what you're going through. He wants to take care of you. He says, my sheep hear me, and I take care of them. You are his sheep. Many of us also may not know how helpless a sheep is. A sheep is helpless. If a sheep is crossing the road now and the car is coming, do you think the sheep will go back? Will continue to go. And if there are 100 crossing, if there's a ditch in front, all of them will fall in. All of them will fall inside that ditch because they don't know how to take care of themselves. But if we are other animals, they'll be able to recognize that there is a ditch and they'll run back. But for a sheep, it doesn't know that. And that's what we are compared to, that we are sheep. So we are helpless individuals. So if we know we're helpless, then we run to the great shepherd, and the great shepherd will take care of us. But we hardly do that. May God help us that we learn to know how to trust the good shepherd to take care of us. Man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. That is what Job tells us in Job 14. So by worrying, you will not add or subtract, just like I said before. So Job knows that you have your days are numbered, my days are numbered. I cannot exceed it. If I continue to worry, but instead, my days will be reduced because of the stress I've added to my life. The same thing goes to all of us who are here this morning. So do not over-worry yourself. Worrying is the opposite of trusting God. Worrying is the opposite of trusting God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. He did not say be anxious for everything, but said for nothing. So, but we are anxious of so many things. So by worrying, we are not trusting God. By worrying, we are not saying, God, you are able to take care of us. But when he says we should not worry, it does not mean that we should not plan. If you are in trouble, if you are in need, you have to plan on how to get out of it, but not to be overly anxious, because that will reduce your lifespan. But you plan and work towards it to see that you come out of the situation you are in. So David tells us that we should not worry so much. The warrior strikes out at God. When you are worrying, you are saying, God, leave me alone. I can do things by myself. But you cannot do anything. You cannot add an inch to or a day or a minute to your life when you are worrying. So you better stop worrying and then trust God. The warrior disbelieves the scripture when he or she is worrying. So you disbelieve the scripture. What the Bible tells you, what the Bible tells me. So do not disbelieve the scripture, but believe the scripture. And that's why we are called the people of the book. We are called the people of the book. That's what the Christians are called by Muslims, because the Bible is the book of books. And if we rely on the Bible and read the scriptures, like our brother Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scriptures is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, that the man of God, the woman of God, might be approved. So, my brother, my sister, you go back to the basis, and the basis is the Word of God. The warrior is mastered by his circumstances. The warrior is mastered by his circumstances. So instead of worrying and your circumstances master you, you have something to do. And that's what Ephesians 1, 18 and 19 tells us. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you should know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great favor, great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty hands. That reminds me about the worries that I had in the early 90s when I went back to Nigeria to do my research concerning my PhD program. When I got there, I found out that in our cities, the students stayed home between 4 months to 6 months in a school year. Why? Because the teachers were not paid. The teachers were on strike, and the government did not care. Students would stay home 4 to 6 months in a year without being schooled. So we prayed and thought about what we will do to help in the situation. And that's what led my wife and I to start a school that will help in a small way those students in Nigeria. We started a non-profit organization in 1994, and we started praying and asking God to provide for us so that we'll be able to establish the school. And finally, October 10, 1999, the school started. We started the school with 6 students. But as we are speaking, we have 920 students in the school. We were planning on how to reach those kids, and God laid that in our heart, of which many of you here have been supporting the ministry since then, and we thank God for that. And furthermore, we thought about the society. What can we do in the society to help too? On August 31st, 2003, we started a church there also in Nigeria. So as we are speaking, we have about 75 people in the church. The church is growing gradually, but not as the school is growing. But we are still thankful to God what he has helped us to do to establish a church and a school in Nigeria. But if we continue to worry and did not do anything, that would have been a big problem. But by God's grace, we handed it over to God, and God has honored our prayers. And the number 4 there says, the warrior destroys God. The warrior destroys God. We are to apply God's word in our hearts and actions. The psalmist said, When I said, My foot is slipping. Your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. So, my brothers and sisters, when you are worrying, remember the scriptures. Be the people of the book. Go back to the book. And the God of peace will give you his peace. Number three, worrying puts your focus in the wrong direction, according to verse 25 of our text. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? So, worrying puts out of focus. In verse 31, it says, so don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So the Lord is encouraging you that in any circumstance you are in, do not worry so much that you leave out God. But if you trust him that he's able to take care of your situation, he will abundantly provide. George Mueller, in 1899, a missionary in India, said, where faith begins, anxiety ends. Where anxiety begins, faith ends. Cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. That also reminds me about our organization. Eternal World Communication Ministries is a non-profit organization. It's not a membership organization like a church. So in a membership organization, you depend on the members to bring in their tithe and offering, and then the church will continue to run. But a non-profit organization, because you don't have any membership, you depend on God. And then you have to go on your knees and pray, God, please provide. Touch that person, touch the other person, that they may buy our vision and then support what we're doing. And that is what has carried us all through. But if we were to go and continue worrying about how the ministry will progress and continue to worry, that will not solve the problem. But we have to go on our knees. And God has not disappointed us in any form or manner. He has continued to provide. Using individuals he has touched since the institution was established, or since the church was established. Right now, the church, we started the building of the church building last year. We've just gotten to the lintel level, and we're praying, God, provide us money to roof the church building. Because the church has been using the school building since it started. So, but we want to have a building that is for church. And we have started the building since last year, but no funds yet. But we believe in God, just like he provided for us to build the classrooms, even though some of the classrooms, we are using them right now without doors and windows. Using the classroom, like this building, the students are inside the building without doors and windows, without being plastered. We are using it until God provides. So when he provides, we continue. So the same way, we are trusting God that he is going to provide money to put doors and windows, even as we plan to go there this summer, that if money is available, we're going to tile the place and then dye the classroom, put roof over the church building, and continue to use it. So it's a faith organization. here says, where faith begins, anxiety ends. Where anxiety begins, faith ends. So if we continue to worry, it will not solve the problem, but we have faith. Have faith in God, have faith in God, all things are possible. Have faith in God, all things are possible. Have faith in God. That's a hymn or song we usually sing in Nigeria. All things are possible if we have faith in God. That carries us a lot. We remain under the canopy of God. We try to listen to Him and go ahead instead of continuing to worry. Likewise, you, my brother, my sister, whatever you're going through, trust God that He's going to see you through. We replace worry with right focus. And what is the right focus? Focus on Christ and all His promises. Focus on Christ and all His promises. We're also asked to fix our eyes on Jesus and not on ourselves. Many a time, we fix our eyes on ourselves, and that's where the problem comes. Then we are overburdened. We are weighed down of all the circumstances we're going through. But when we know that we have the God who has promised to take care of us, then He will absolutely come to our aid. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning His shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The author and perfecter of our faith is Jesus Christ. So He is able to start one thing in your life, and He is able to complete that thing in your life. So do not allow circumstances, problems, like all those things we read about, the anxieties that we have. So don't allow them to weigh you down, but allow the Holy Spirit of God to touch your life. And when that happens, you will have every cause to glorify God's name. In sports, players are asked to keep their eyes on the ball. Why? If players are playing on the playground or on the field, and the ball is over there and they are looking over there, do you think that player will be able to perform? No. Your eye must be on the ball and have to go and get that ball so that you'll be able to score a goal. Because the aim of any player is to score a goal. But if your eyes is not on the ball, you miss the track or miss the mark. So our goal is heaven. Our goal is Jesus Christ. We need to focus on Him. Do not be distracted by all those things that are around you. Because those things are there to weigh you down. They are there to pull you down. But when you remember that Jesus is there, He has promised and He will not fail. He has not failed anybody before and He will not fail you. You will not be an exception. You will not be an exception. I will not be an exception. He will surely meet you at the center of your needs. If only you trust Him. He wants you to trust Him. And when you trust Him, He will see, He will make all these things to come to pass. We react to problems with thanksgiving. We react to problems with thanksgiving. I will listen to what God, the Lord, will say. He promises peace to His people. He sends, but let them not return to folly. Surely, His salvation is near those who fear Him, that His glory may dwell in our land. Psalm 85, 8 and 9. So you and I need to listen to the word of God. Listen to the message. There he mentioned the word salvation. Salvation has many meanings. The first meaning we know of salvation is having deliverance, to have eternal life in heaven. That is a good one. But salvation, which is from the Greek word sozo, means complete deliverance, physical, spiritual deliverance. So whatever those needs are, you are also looking for salvation of those needs, all those cares. And that's why our brother Peter tells us to cast all our cares upon him, because he does what? He cares so much about you. He cares so much about me. If your father cares so much about you, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? He's able to take care of you, of all your needs. What you need to do is to mention those things before him in prayer. Remember, a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. Therefore, you need to pray always. If Christ, who is God himself, knew the importance of prayer, that he would at night he would go to a place to pray. During the day, he would leave his disciples and go and pray. How much less you and I, feeble men and women, we need prayers all the time. We need prayers all the time so that we'll be able to come out of our circumstances, come out of our problems, our cares. So God is here this morning to meet you at the center of your needs. Concerning needs, I remember one time when I went to Nigeria to do some projects. After usurping after using all the money that I went home with to do the project, and a lot was left to be done, I was praying, God, please, help, help. But no help was coming while I was there. I had to come back to the States. But that same day I arrived at the States here, around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. By 4 p.m., somebody called me and said, "Oh, are you back?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I have some money for you. Do you want me to bring it?" I said, "Yes." He came, and he brought money. And he said, "In 2 weeks, I will double that amount that he gave." And that amount he gave was enough to carry out one of the projects that we were doing before I left. I prayed, my wife was praying, and I came back. That same day, God answered the prayers. So we are in the business of trusting God, believing him that he's able to provide. He's the great provider. Instead of worrying, knocking our heads down, how are we going to do it? We have to pray. Many of you know, we run this ministry from here. We are busy people. When it's morning there, it's evening here. So we are always awake till sometimes 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the night, taking care of business over there. We only get 4 or 5 hours of sleep. But when we lay our heads down, instead of continuing to worry, we catch sleep right away and grab the little that we can. Instead of continuing to worry, they may call us 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the night to tell us the problem they have there. But when we go back to sleep, we sleep. Why? Because we're trusting the great provider that is able to provide. But if we are to wear it on our head, on our body, then we'll be worn out. For these 22 years, we've been doing this ministry. 22 years. And that also reminds me, on June 4th, we'll be having 22nd anniversary of our ministry here at the church. So you are all invited to the 22nd anniversary of our ministry on June 4th. So worrying robs us of peace. The Bible tells us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." John 14:27. Christ is promising peace to you, promising peace to me, but not as the world gives, because the Bible tells us that in the world you have tribulations and trials, but in me you have what? Peace. That's what Christ said. And he said he's leaving us peace. And that's why the Israelites, their greetings is what? Shalom. Shalom. And what is shalom? Shalom means peace. And the response back is shalom lecha. Peace be unto you too. Shalom lecha. So the word Christ has promised to give you peace, to give me peace in the midst of your problems. As for problems, they will be there as long as we're still living. But let them not wear us down. Let not our problems wear us down. That's where the problem lies, if we allow our problems to wear us down. But when we trust God that he's able to do it, then those worries, those anxieties that we have will be taken care of. Peace comes from obeying God. Peace comes from obeying God. When you are not obeying God, you will not be able to have the peace of God. But when you obey God, you get the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. That's the promise you and I have been made. So if you want your own portion of the peace, trust God. Instead of worrying, you can pray and read your Bible. Instead of worrying, pray and read your Bible. Pastor Jack told us about prayer. But I'm adding that we pray and read our Bibles. Many of us, we are, when we went to Sunday school in daily days, we learned a song that says, "Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, if you want to grow. If you want to grow, if you want to grow. Read your Bible and pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible and pray every day if you want to grow." My brother, my sister, if you want to grow as a Christian, you need to read your Bible and pray every day. As I said before, a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. You need to pray every day. You need to pray about your circumstances. You need to trust God that he's able to do beyond what you have asked him. Worrying is destructive to us in many ways. It causes us to become mentally and physically sick. It also brings stress to our bodies. Many of us know about this. Most sicknesses that bring stroke, heart attack, as a result of worries. So, my brother, my sister, instead of wearing your problems on your body, on your chest, you saw the picture of that young man there. He's depressed because of all that he has considered. Maybe his credit card, maybe the workload. No matter what you're facing, tell God about it, and he will take care of you. Worrying is unwise because of our future. Worrying is unwise because of our future. What does the Bible tell us in Psalm 118:24? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Are you able to acknowledge the goodness of God in all your circumstances? David knew what it meant, and he was able to acknowledge this. Then, worrying is unwise because of our future. Lamentations tells us, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I said to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Jeremiah knew that he needed to wait patiently. But our problem is we are always in a hurry. We don't want to wait upon the Lord. But this morning, if you can wait upon the Lord because of your circumstance and you have prayed, you can wait quietly. When you are waiting, there are three ways God answers prayers. Yes, no, and wait. Yes, no, and wait. But the favorable one we want all the time is yes. We don't want to wait. We don't want no. But my brother, my sister, Jeremiah learned that it is good to wait upon the Lord quietly, patiently. Are you able this morning to wait upon the Lord? If you are, he's able to meet you at the center of your needs. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your word has gone out. You said it will not come back to you void without accomplishing what you intended it. Therefore, I pray this morning that your word, which has gone out, you are going to use it to encourage us as we run our Christian race, to know that you are still in the business of meeting us at the center of our needs. Help us, O Lord. Even when we are discouraged, thinking that all is lost, help us to believe you for a breakthrough in our lives, in our circumstances. I commit my brothers and sisters who are going through diverse worries, diverse anxieties this morning. I commit them into your care. May you take absolute control of all their needs. And may you bless them superabundantly. Meet those needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen.